This morning, again, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 2. I want to consider a few thoughts with you this morning from the story that's recorded there for us about the visit of the Magi, or the visit of the wise men. This morning, as we do so, I want to consider together the following theme: O come, let us adore him. I want you to follow along as I read a few of the verses again this morning, then we'll have a word of prayer. But Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." Jump down, if you would, to verse 10. It says, "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house and saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Again, our message this morning is entitled, "O come, let us adore him." Let's pray together, please, and we'll consider together the passage of Scripture. Father, we thank you for our time this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to come that we might worship and adore the one who came and gave his life for us. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for all that he is and who he is. We thank you that he came to this earth with the purpose that he might give his life upon the cross of Calvary, that he might die and shed his blood, that we could be redeemed. We thank you, Lord, that he loved us with an everlasting love. And Father, we thank you this morning that as we come and as we consider this passage of Scripture, we're reminded why we should worship him, for he is worthy of our worship today. And Father, I pray that as we go through this Christmas season, that we would stop and that we would pause, that we would take the time as he is worthy of and worship and adore him. And Father, we'll give you thanks and praise for what will be accomplished. May Jesus Christ be the center of our Christmas this year. And we commit this time now unto you in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew is the only gospel that records for us the visit of the wise men. Their visit most likely took place at least 1 year after Jesus' actual birth, and most likely took place during the time when Mary and Joseph returned to Bethlehem for the time of the Passover feast. We read in Luke chapter 2 and verse 41, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." So we realize that Mary and Joseph came on an annual basis for the feast of the Passover. They traveled from Nazareth down to Bethlehem each year. And most likely they were in Bethlehem at the time of the feast of the Passover as the Magi came and visited with him. The Bible tells us that these wise men traveled from the east with the intent purpose that they might come and worship this great new king. These wise men were well versed in the ancient writings, including the Old Testament. They understood that the time had now come for the king to be born, and that he was born. And they came that they might adore the new king. They came that they might worship him. I think it's interesting to note, and I think it's interesting for us to consider, that the Jewish people, who had been greatly privileged, did not seek for their king. You remember we looked last week at the story of the shepherds. We understand that the shepherds proclaimed throughout all of Bethlehem that the Messiah was born. And a year has now gone by, at least a year probably has now transpired, and we find that no one is searching and no one in Jerusalem is looking for their king. No one is even seeking the Messiah. They didn't even know, by the way, they had a king. They didn't realize that he had yet been born. It would be Gentiles that knew of his birth and sought to pay homage and honor unto him. Dr. English, in his commentary in the book of Matthew, notes this. The king is unknown in Jerusalem, his own city, where his throne is. The rulers and even the ecclesiastical authorities do not recognize his presence. Worship and honor are accorded to him, not by his own people, but by representatives from among the Gentiles. His life is sought by those who should have been looking for him with rejoicing at his coming. There is one who is born now King of the Jews. And in Matthew chapter 2, we are told that wise men came that they might worship him. This morning, as we look at Matthew chapter 2, I want us to consider if we have taken the time to truly stop to worship him who came for us. He came that he might die upon the cross of Calvary. He came that you and I might live. Christmas, and the reason that we have Christmas, is because of Jesus Christ. This holiday that we look forward to throughout the year, this holiday that we take much time and plan for, this holiday in which we will spend much of our goods for, is one that is there because Jesus Christ came. Because Jesus Christ died. Because he lived that we might live. He died that we might live. And he lives forevermore. It's because of Jesus Christ that we have such celebrations. And I wonder if we have taken the time to truly consider and offer to him our worship, to present to him our own gifts. We, like the Jews, are a privileged people. Yet too often, we forget the one who humbled himself and seek and save those who were lost and gave his life a ransom for many. This morning, we want to gather and worship. We want to come and adore him. As we look at this passage this morning, I want you to see two basic thoughts with me. Number one, I want you to see the analysis of their worship. The analysis of worship. What would cause these men to travel such a great distance to see this young child? Why was it that they saw the star in the east and they made their journey to come that they might worship him, that they might come to him who was born King of the Jews? What caused them to make such a journey? Well, first of all, I want you to notice with me that they came because they were astute. They came because they were astute. Verse 2 tells us that they came to see the King of the Jews. That term, King, is one of the divine titles used for the Messiah. They came searching for the one that the Bible claimed would be the Messiah. They had taken the time to study the Scriptures. They understood that the Bible said that there would be one who would come as the promised Messiah who would save his people from their sins. They came to seek this one who was born King of the Jews. They had been astute. They understood, as we consider from Galatians 4 and verse 4, that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. They had taken the time to consider the Word of God. They were astute in their study. Any careful student of the Word of God would have known that the time of his coming was nigh. But these wise men, because of their earnest seeking, the Bible tells us that God revealed to them a star and brought them to Jerusalem to behold the child. They were astute in their study. They were seeking and searching for the one born King of the Jews. I wonder how much you and I so often miss in our own privileged state. See, when they came to Herod, Herod was astonished that there would be one born King of the Jews. He and all of Jerusalem were troubled. They didn't even know there was one born King of the Jews. They were concerned about what political unrest might come.
They weren't considering the spiritual ramifications of a Messiah that was coming. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. No consideration of such thought. I wonder how often we miss out on things in our own day because we're just not astute. We're not taking the time to study the Word of God. We're not taking the time to consider Him. So many things I think in our day go unnoticed because we become, as the Bible says, dull of hearing. We live in this world, we go through our lives, we do our things, and we are dull of hearing. How easy is it for us to go through Christmas and miss the absolute blessing of this time of the year? We get caught up in our traditions, we get caught up in the things that we're doing, the time with family, we get caught up with our presents and our gifts and our meals and all the things that take place, none of which are evil. But we can go through the entire season missing the whole concept and the truth and the reality that is so important, which is Jesus Christ came that we might live. He was born that he might die, that you and I might be redeemed. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them, that's you and I, that were under the law. Let's not miss what the Bible shares with us to be the truth and the meaning of Christmas. The Bible warns us that in the last days, men would no longer endure the teaching of the Word of God. They will not endure sound doctrine. Folks, if you look at the church universal today, you will find that there are many who want nothing to do with sound doctrine. Instead, they have itching ears and they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We want a social gospel. We want a prosperity gospel. We want to be patted on the back and said, everything's okay. You can enjoy your best life now. We want self-help. We don't want truth. We don't want sound doctrine. But folks, by sound doctrine and by study, the wise men came and they were able to adore He who was born King of the Jews. They knew that He had come and God revealed to them the star that guided them to the very place where the child laid, that they might present to them their gifts. They were astute. As we continue, though, we also find that they came that they might adore Him. They came with the intent that they might adore Him. Look at verse 2. Where is He that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him. They came that they might worship. They came that they might adore Him. Verse 11 tells us that when they found Him, they fell down and they worshiped Him. Question is, what's that word worship mean? Because you and I should be coming that we would worship the Lord. So what's it mean to worship Him? Well, the word worship here is a word that means to kiss the hand. It means to pay homage, to prostrate oneself, to show adoration. They were showing to Him the respect, the adoration that was due Him, for He was worthy of it, for He was King. Not just, by the way, King of the Jews, but He is King of kings and Lord of lords. There is none like unto Him. And they came that they might adore. They prostrated themselves before Him. They paid their homage and they gave their adoration. There's a very interesting
word picture in the original language. Again, the word there means to kiss the hand. The two words that make up this word literally could be read this way: to kiss the hand like a dog. Say, that doesn't sound all that appealing. But I want you to think about that with me for a moment. If you own a dog, you will find that your dogs are naturally loyal, and dogs show respect to their owners. Dogs, for many ways, want that affection from their owner. What does a dog do to get your attention when you are ignoring him or her? Kiss the hand. They come over, they're nudged, they're licked, they will kiss the hand. What are they doing? They're showing respect. They're expressing their desire for your affection. They want you to acknowledge their existence. And often when they do that, we show that back to them with the pet, the reminder, or the treat, or something else, because they came. But they're desiring for your time. You know, that ought to be the case with every believer. Why do we come on a Sunday morning such as this, sit in a pew, and listen to a pastor preach a message and sing some hymns and give of an offering? We come that we might kiss the hand. And don't take that in the wrong way. We come that we might pay our respect. We come seeking the affection, the adoration of our Father. We come desiring to be with Him. We come that we might adore Him. By the way, what's the Bible tell us? That I love Him. Why? Because He first loved me. The natural response that I should have because the Father loves me is I should want to love the Father. And I come that I might adore. I come that I might worship. The wise men traveled from afar that they might seek the King and show reverence and respect and worship Him. I want to ask you a question this morning. When's the last time you entered into the doors of this church with that exact purpose, that you would seek the love of the Father, His adoration, and to show your respect to Him? Because that's the last time you and I came to worship. Because worship means to show that adoration and that respect. William Temple defined worship this way: worship is the submission of all of our nature to God, is the quickening of the conscience by His holiness, the nourishment of mind with His truth, the purifying of the imagination by His beauty, the opening of the heart to the love, the surrender of the will to His purpose, and all this gathered up in adoration, the most selfless emotion of which our nature is capable, and therefore the chief remedy for that self-centeredness which is the original sin and source of all actual sin. God desires that we would come and worship Him, to adore Him who is worthy. As you and I behold the scene of Matthew chapter 2 this morning, would we not, as the wise men, come and adore Him who is Christ the Lord? The second thing I want you to see with me, though, this morning is not the analysis of worship. I want you to see the argument for worship. There's an argument made for worship as we come to the scene of the wise men this morning. We know that they came to worship. The question is, how did they worship, and in what way do we worship Him? Well, the Bible tells me that the wise men presented to Him gifts of their treasure. Each of those gifts gives us a reason why we should worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want you to see them with me. If you look at verse 11, it says, "And when they were come to the house, and they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped Him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto Him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Why do we come and worship the Lord? Number one, we should worship Him because He is divine. Because He is God. They presented unto Him gold. This gold would prove to be of great value to Mary and to Joseph and to this young child. For you see, this family would be caused now to flee to Egypt as Herod would now seek this child's life. They presented to Him gold. By the way, as I consider that, I'm reminded of this fact. God always provides for His own. Mary and Joseph had no idea that how much they would need the gold that would be presented unto Him. But it became of great value. God was able to provide. He always meets our needs. One of the greatest benefits of walking and living by faith, being dependent upon the Lord, is that He will always supply our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. But the concept of gold is representative of the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. For gold is usually associated with royalty. It represents power and glory. And so as we consider that they presented to Him gold, we are reminded that the one to whom they present this gold truly is the Lord. He is God. He is divine. And He is worthy of such worship. As we come before the Lord and worship Him, we are coming before He who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He who is sovereign, who is above all. We worship Him who is divine, one full of glory and power. John chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We worship Him who is divine. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." In Him we see He who is divine. Psalm 93 and verse 1 tells us, "The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith He hath girded Himself. The world also established, that it cannot be moved." We worship Him who is God. We worship one who is divine. We come, and why is He worthy of worship? Because He is full of majesty and full of power. He is God, and there is none like unto Him. You and I exist because He says so. You and I live, and we have breath today because He deems it to be so. This world consists because He holds it in the palm of His hand, and no one is able to detract away from His plan and His purpose. He does according to the counsel of His will, for He is God, and there is none like Him. And as the wise men came, they presented to Him gold, representing Him who is divine. But they also presented unto Him frankincense, and we should worship Him because He is lovely. Frankincense is a white resin or gum that is gathered by making an incision in the bark of a tree. This resin is known to be fragrant, especially when burned, and therefore is often used as incense to offer a sweet-smelling savor before the Lord. It's a beautiful fragrance. And so we are reminded that the one to whom we come and that we worship is not only divine, but He is also lovely. It reminds us of the perfection of His humanity and the fragrance of His life. He is to be worshipped because He is too altogether lovely. Hence the reason that our Lord was referred to as the Rose of Sharon. He is the most fragrant of all flowers, the Rose of Sharon. He is altogether lovely. Paul in Philippians 3:8 referred to Him and the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. He is excellent, denoting there is none that is greater than Him.
There is no one that can compare to the beauty of the Lord. David in Psalm 27 in verse 4 said, he longed to stay in the temple that he might behold the beauty of the Lord. There is none more beautiful, more lovely than God.
Beloved, who's more beautiful to you than the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is more precious? Sad reality in our days, we'd often have to ask the question, what is more beautiful? What is more precious? It's not even who's anymore, it's the what's of our day that make it so sad. We look at possessions to be more beautiful than the object of absolute beauty, Jesus Christ. There is none more lovely than Him. Who has the position in your life, or what has the position in your life as the apple of your eye? What is most dear to you? What's on the forefront of your mind day after day? Can anyone truly compare in your life to the one, Jesus Christ? The Bible says there is none like Him. There is none more beautiful than Him. We should worship Him. For He alone is excellent. He alone is beautiful, is lovely. He is the one alone worthy of our worship. But finally, I want you to see with me, they presented to Him myrrh. That reminds us that we should worship Him because of His sacrificial death. Like frankincense, myrrh is also harvested from the bark of a tree, yet it's known to be extremely bitter. It's a spice that would be used in embalming the dead, for it had the quality of being able to slow down the process of corruption. This was presented to our Lord, for He would be the one chosen of God to conquer sin, death, and corruption. Through His death, there would be life. Sin would no longer have dominion over mankind. Through the salvation by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through our own lusts. Hear the words that Peter shared in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, the wise men presented to Him myrrh. It represented the fact that He would one day give His life a ransom for many, that He would die. It was a symbolic gesture. And by the way, it probably would have been kind of considered maybe by Mary and Joseph to be a strange gift to give to a child, myrrh. Yet they were directed of the Lord to do so. And we're reminded that we should worship Him because He died for you and me. See, folks, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And because of Jesus Christ, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, the wages of our sin were death, but the gift of God was eternal life through Jesus Christ. You and I were worthy of damnation. You and I were worthy of every ounce of corruption of our soul. And we deserve to pay every moment in eternity in the lake of fire because of sin. But God in His great love, wherein He loved us, when the fullness of time was come, sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that He might redeem us that were under the oppression of the law, that we might be given life eternal and life more abundantly. So I'll close this morning as we began. Let us come and adore Him. Let us present to Him the gift of our worship, for He is divine. Let us present to Him the gift of our worship, for He is altogether most lovely. Let us present to Him our gift of worship, because He gave His life for us.
Oh, come, let us adore him.
A year or two after the birth of the Savior, wise men from the east came that they might worship him who his own people had not recognized. They were astute, for they had taken the time to investigate the scripture. They came to adore him. In their worship, they offered him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This Christmas, let it be a time that we come to the Word of God and adore him who came that we might live. Let us worship him who became sin that we might be made righteous before God. He is worthy today. Let us come. Let us adore him. Let's pray together, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can come and study together the truth of the Word of God. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life. We thank you that he not only lived, but he died for us. He died that we might live. And Father, we as your people have the wonderful privilege of coming that we might worship him. We're able to come today that we might pay homage, that we might be able to say that he is worthy for all that he has done for us. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for his love. I thank you, Lord, for his goodness to us. I thank you that it's been revealed to us. And Lord, I ask and pray that you would help us now, that we would come and worship him who is worthy. So Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning as we close, I'm going to invite you to take your hymnal, please, and turn to hymn 100. Hymn 100, I think it's appropriate that we stand and sing, O come, all ye faithful. The stanza begins, O come, let us adore him. We have gathered today for the purpose that we might worship together our Lord and Savior.